With 6 of 7 Unit 5 school board seats up for election this year, there are 4 current members guaranteed to remain seated. Despite being held accountable for the majority of local property tax dollars, only 2 seats on the board are contested, with 3 women running. GLT's Mary Cullen filled you in on their race last week. Today, it's the incumbent's turn.
Mita Mickens-Baker is the longest-standing current Board of Education member. She was first appointed in 2004. She says she's running to keep that institutional knowledge within the board.
We've also had a lot of turnover on the board as people left our community over recent years, and I don't want to leave the board with instability with just all new people. And so I try to be a mentor, help to those who are newer, so that everybody gets started on a good foot.
And part of that institutional knowledge is helping the district through tough times. Unit 5 is currently $32 million underfunded. That's according to the state's evidence-based funding formula. That means the school district is likely to ask for more local property tax dollars ahead of the 2020 election. But that $32 million hardly matters. The state doesn't have the funds to fill that gap. What does matter is Unit 5's $6 million deficit that will grow to $10 million next year and keep snowballing if no action is taken. Mickens-Baker says it's not about proving to the community that enough institutional cuts have been made. They have, and she says there's nothing left on her cut list.
By really making sure the community understands we're doing our best to give all the best possible education to students in this community. We have made cuts, but every time we cut something, we're not cutting fat. We're cutting opportunities for kids, we're cutting services, or we're increasing class sizes. Neither of those is a success strategy.
She says cuts to programs take away vital pieces of a child's education. Mickens-Baker shares this year's incumbency with 2 other elected board members, Board President Barry Hitchens and his Vice President Mike Trask. They both agree cuts aren't an option. Trask says over 80% of Unit 5's education fund goes to salaries and benefits, so any worthwhile cuts would mean staff reductions. Superintendent Mark Daniel says a cut large enough to help the district crawl out of its deficit would cost at least 100 teachers. Board member Trask says that's simply not an option he's willing to take.
It's a holistic picture we have to look at. Not only how do we potentially bring in additional revenue, but we also do have to look at what cuts and what does that mean. I'm very cautious on wanting not to just cut 100 staff members and suddenly now I've got 30 to a class size across the district. There's a lot of variables to weigh on all the decisions before we make any, final decision going forward.
And Board President Hitchens agrees. He says every staff cut usually also amounts to a cut in programs.
Every program means something to a student, and with the mission of our district being educate each student to achieve personal excellence, it'd be hard to identify any program that doesn't contribute to some student's educational excellence.
He says with the district's budget of over $170 million, a referendum is the only option that would provide sufficient funds while not causing a negative impact on students. Mita Mickens-Baker says she hopes the state will pull through with more funding, but past years have left a bad taste in schools' mouths. A referendum, though not easy to swallow, she says, would help fill some of the deficit left by years of reckless state funding.
I'd be more in favor of trying to have more available to keep what we offered our students than to cut and realize that there'd be young people who would not have the experiences they need to be successful in life after school.
Mickens-Baker says it can be hard convincing Bloomington Normal residents without children in Unit 5 schools about the need for additional property tax revenue. She says they simply don't see the everyday successes of the school system.
The reason why our schools are so successful and our students are so successful is because of how the community is supported public education here.
And raising taxes is never taken lightly. Even Mike Trask says he hates the thought of his own taxes going up.
People don't want to be taxed, and I understand that. I get it. I hear it. I'm a taxpayer. But we sit in a district that we do provide a high-quality education for our students. We have wonderful facilities, tremendous staff, support personnel, everybody in this district. Unfortunately, and it is unfortunate, over the last several years, we've been underfunded. We were prorated. We continue to move along, and we're still trying to be competitive.
Trask says he sees the value in providing for public education. However, he does draw the line somewhere between property taxes and marijuana revenue.
If we're saying, okay, let's take money for alcohol use and put it towards schools, or you put it towards marijuana, I struggle with that just morally a little bit of that's what's going to fund my schools. It's a little challenging, let's just put it that way for me.
And he's not the only board member who's reluctant to say whether legalized marijuana revenue should be funneled into the public education system. Board President Barry Hitchens says it's not up for him to decide.
Those are the types of decisions I can't make at the school level, and I'm not elected to represent those types of discussions at the state level. I am in favor of looking at all options for increasing revenue to all schools.
He does say, however, that public money should stay within public schools. Mita Mickens-Baker has a similar response. She doesn't want to pick sides.
I want them to be fiscally responsible to our schools. And so I'm going to keep watching what they do, but and know that the state legislators are going to come up with some solutions. At least I'm hoping so.
But newer board member Alan Kalitsky says money is money.
The state has really put a lot of our school districts in at a very tight spot. They are totally dependent on the socioeconomic environment within their local community in order to succeed or fail.
Kalitsky was appointed to the board to fill a vacancy last July. He says since schools have learned they can't exactly trust state funding, maybe an additional guaranteed revenue source wouldn't be so bad.
I think the legalization of marijuana is important to ensuring that we have an additional alternative revenue stream. And not that I'm saying that I agree with the position of marijuana being utilized by anyone and everyone, but I do feel that if it's going to be utilized and we are going to legalize it, those tax dollars should go back to the education system.
His fellow elected board members may not be willing to sit on Mary Jane's throne, but with Governor J.B. Pritzker counting on legalization and at least $170 million in recreational marijuana business license revenue next fiscal year, Kalitsky isn't ready to turn his back. Not only does the school board fight for revenue, it also has to consider when and where to cut some corners. Those corners are in the form of property tax abatements. Both Rivian and Branch received property tax breaks upon coming to Bloomington Normal. The Unit 5 school board had to approve those breaks before the town council made any moves. After all, the lion's share of property tax dollars fall into the lap of the local school district. Last year, Rivian was granted 5 years with a 100% property tax abatement. Brandt saw a similar deal in 2017, where they were given 50 to 100% tax abatements for 10 years. Mickens-Baker and Hitchens agree. Those were not easy decisions for the board to make. Hitchens says the deal with Rivian was especially situational. Without providing tax abatements, he says the property probably would have been raised and ultimately useless to the district. So Hitchens says the board had to vote on what would likely be an improvement to the local economy down the road. Trask says the same. It's all about the long term. Kalitsky wasn't on the board for either the Rivian or Brandt tax abatement votes, but he has some different ideas as to how he would handle it. He agrees that long-term is a piece of the puzzle, but that's not all.
When we talk about economic development, it has to be something that we're benefiting from in the short-term and the long-term. It cannot just be a long-term gain.
Short-term, Kalitsky says the Rivian and Brandt deals meant increased workflow to the area. With both organizations required to meet certain hiring and production benchmarks, the short-term result meant the start to a boost in the local economy. And he says the board will likely have more property tax conversations in the coming years as Uptown Normal continues its renovation project. Another area the school board will be needing more conversations in is substitute pay. The district managed to avoid the conversation of increased subpay since it was last raised in 2001. Finally, after various complaints, the school board agreed to a pay increase, up $5, and incentives for those who stay working in the district. Mina Mickens-Baker says the board would have loved to give more to subs, but that was all the district could afford at this time. And she says even that put them in a bind financially. Her fellow incumbent board members agree. Trask says educators in general are underpaid, but that the district pushed the needle as much as they could.
You know, wish I could push all of them a little further with the needle with the job they do, yes. But given where we're at right now, that's really all we could do at this time.
But Trask says the board was able to resolve other non-monetary concerns that substitutes had about feeling more welcome in district schools. Board member Kalitsky served on the committee last year that worked with Unit 5 substitutes to ease tensions.
The educators and staff within our schools make the difference to our students. The brick and mortar of having that building does not get the student to where they need to be. It's the people inside that building that really achieve the goal.
And he says his work with substitutes isn't finished.
This is something we will be reviewing on a semi-annually and annual review. I will commit that I will remain on that committee because I do feel we need to make sure that all of our resources are paid fairly. And be competitive with all of their peers within our local geographic area.
As one of the board's newest members, Kalitsky is looking long-term ahead of the election. He says he's running for his first term because he respects the work the district has done, but he also sees room for improvement.
The main focus is that I would really want to be emphasizing during my term is increased communication and really making sure that there's emphasis and focus on educating our students, our staff, as well as our citizens as to the goings-on within Unit 5. I don't think there's enough of that currently going on. And a little bit more focus and emphasis on transparency as best we can.
The incumbents may not agree on everything, but they do agree on a lot. Perhaps it's because they all work at State Farm. Or maybe it's that they all felt the same call to serve that brought them to the school board. Either way, these four seat holders out of six are all running unopposed. So whether you like their views or not, their votes for the next 4 years decide where the majority of local property tax dollars are spent. I'm Mary Cullen.
The election is April 2nd. The three challengers running for two Unit 5 school board seats are incumbents Amy Roser and Kelly Pyle, both appointed last summer, and challenger Linnell Greenberg, a former Unit 5 clerk.